Last June, the NASCAR Cup Series raced in the St. Louis area for the first time in the inaugural Enjoy Illinois 300 at Worldwide Technology Raceway. The race served as a homecoming for Randall Burnett, the crew chief of the number 8 car for Richard Childress Racing, who was born and raised just down the road in Fent, Missouri. Burnett helped lead the 8 car to 3 victories last season and a spot in the playoffs. This season, he's the crew chief for Kyle Busch, who was recently named one of NASCAR's top 75 drivers of all time. Earlier this week, I caught up with Burnett to discuss growing up racing in Missouri, the adversity he faced last season, which included learning that his driver, Tyler Reddick, was leaving the team mid-season, working with Kyle Busch, and more. So, Fenton, Missouri.
Yes, sir. Born and raised in Fenton, Missouri. Lived there till about 1999.
Were you a Cardinals fan or Blues fan growing up?
Absolutely. Okay. Cardinals and Blues fan all the way. Still am.
So when did you first get into racing?
I got into racing when I was a pretty young guy. I was about 7 years old. My dad got me into racing go-karts in the St. Louis area and places around there, Springfield, Illinois, a little bit. Just some racetracks around there that I started racing go-karts at. My dad used to race dirt late models before I was even born. And so he was always into racing and kind of got me involved in it at a really young age and been involved in it ever since.
So were you a NASCAR fan growing up? Because I would imagine Kansas Motor Speedway was probably the closest NASCAR track. But I don't know. Did you like any other forms of racing or who'd you root for growing up?
I watched a little bit of everything. I kept up with everything, IndyCars, but NASCAR, you know, from being from Fenton, obviously the Wallaces are from Fenton, Kenny Schrader's from Fenton. So, had some people to root for, you know, at all the NASCAR events. And so always kept up with them as well.
So had you been to Gateway prior to last year? I know that was the first time the Cup Series went there, but had you been there before either racing or working for one of the teams?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny you say that. I had raced go-karts at the old Gateway International Speedway when it was the drag strip with the road course that like the SCCA guys used to race at a lot. We actually had some go-kart events over there that we raced at, and then they had tore it down and built the oval track there. And I was fortunate enough to race some go-karts there too through the road course on the infield there a little bit. I'd been there. And watched, a couple of IndyCar races there and things like that. So, yeah, I was pretty well versed with Worldwide Technology Speedway when we got to go there, last year.
So kind of a two-pronged question here. When you go to a new track, like I know you guys are going to the Chicago Street Course later this year, for example, what type of challenges does that present for a crew chief? And for last year, since you said you'd already been there, did you think that provided you any extra edge over some of these other teams in preparing to go there?
Well, I think knowing some of the subtleties of the track, certainly helpful going in, knowing. For Gateway, for instance, there's a lot of guys that had raced, in the Xfinity series or even the truck series there, they've been going there for years. So there was quite a few guys that were in the field that had raced there before. So you didn't really have much of an edge there. But going to a new track, it's, we do a lot of things with simulation based on, the tools we have at our disposal, like our driver simulators or our flying sims that we run on our computer to kind of model what we would expect to see on the track. So making sure those tools are lined up when you go into a new track is always difficult, the correlation between that to know how realistic you are the first time modeling there without not having a lot of information or data to go off of makes it a little challenging. So coming up with a baseline setup, an initial setup of how we want our car to be, on the heights, weights, how we want our springs and shocks to be and everything that we kind of look at there. It's always a new challenge going to new places, right? For sure.
So last year, did you have any friends or family at the race? And what did you think of the atmosphere there for the St. Louis area's first Cup race?
Yeah, I thought the atmosphere there was amazing. I thought they did a great job. I think the whole everybody was really happy with everything that was going on. We had Nelly was playing on the infield, which was awesome. Very St. Louis, you know, everybody that I know of, all the teams kind of stayed downtown and were able to kind of, you know, go hang out in downtown St. Louis. And, so it's just a really cool, cool thing to come do. I thought they did a great job with everything, you know, with, you know, the event itself. I feel like all the fans were really happy. I thought the race went well. I thought it was a really good race. Really exciting. So, I thought overall for the first time event with doing, you know, a big NASCAR Cup race there, I thought they did a great job. And to answer your other part of the question, yes, I had a lot of friends there. A lot of friends that I grew up with, going to high school with. My mom and my stepdad were there. You know, I had, you know, some lifelong friends that I've grown up going to school with, and a bunch of them came to support us. So that was really cool to be able to race in front of my hometown crowd and have, you know, people that have been important to me my whole life there, and kind of be able to come out and support us was really cool.
So when did you make the transition from driving to working more to the technical side? Because there are very few people that can say they are a NASCAR Cup crew chief. So what was the journey like to work your way up to get to that point? And did you know you wanted to go down that route, or did you kind of want to go more down the racing route and, you know, just eventually switched over? Or, you know, what was that process like?
No, I mean, like growing up, like that's all I wanted to do was work on race cars, and well, I wanted to drive. And, you know, it takes a lot of backing and a lot of things to go right for you to kind of make it to the driving level. And had some success driving, you know, racing my own late models and stuff. You know, I really enjoyed working on the cars and learning about them. And, you know, I finished up school at UNC Charlotte and got my mechanical engineering degree there. All the while I was working, sandblasting race cars for fast track driving school and putting myself through school and racing late models at the same time, and just trying to get myself some opportunities, learn everything I could, you know, being able to do my own drive and build my own cars, things like that when I was coming up and really learning about it, certainly helped, accelerate me to getting where I'm at. You know, I came out of college and went to work for Chip Ganassi Racing right out of college and worked there for like 10 years and started in as a low-end engineer over there and kind of worked my way up through the ranks to be a race engineer, a full-time traveling race engineer over there. And, you know, just a lot of hard work, a lot of late nights, a lot of traveling, a lot of being gone from home, and a lot of effort to get there. And it's just, it just continues. The higher up you get it, the more you do it. So, but very fortunate. I've had a lot of great people help me along the way to get me, you know, open up some doors for me and certainly help me along the way.
With this new next gen car, because I know they're trying to make it more competitive and level the playing field for everyone, does that make your job as a crew chief easier or more difficult now that everyone's working with the same parts in the same car?
Well, I think it's harder to when you're regulated by so many different things, right? We're in a really small box of what we can do to the cars, where, you know, over the years, if you watch the progression of NASCAR, it used to be a lot. The rule book has gotten thicker and thicker and thicker over time, right? So when they started, there wasn't really many rules at all. Kind of run what you brung to the racetrack and hope you brought enough. But now, as we've learned so much and the engineering's gotten so involved and it's so data-driven that NASCAR's really tightened up on all the rules. You can see that with the next-gen cars. Everybody's racing the same car, right? So you're stacking a lot of pennies to try to get a little bit better performing car than, say, you know, somebody you're racing against. So everything's got to be a lot of details, very detail-oriented, making sure you got all your settings on your car where you want them, and really knowing how to adjust on it from that as well. So, yeah, I think it's more difficult to find it, certainly to find an advantage over other teams.
Your team had a lot of success last year. I was actually at your race at Road America when Tyler got his first career victory. What was the adjustment like when you found out the news that he was switching teams? Did the team, was it difficult to refocus after that? And how did the team handle the adversity of finding out this news midway through the year?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a, it was a hard thing to hear Tyler leaving. You know, we had been together with him for, you know, I think that was our fourth year together, me and him personally, and a lot of the guys on the team had been with him through his whole tenure at RCR. So, you know, we were certainly sad to see him go. He was one of the guys, part of the team. You know, we've been great friends, and so it was kind of it was difficult for everybody to kind of understand. But it's, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business deal, and you see that a lot in any kind of sport or any kind of competitive environment. So, you know, one thing in NASCAR is for sure is nothing stays the same, right? So, so it was a little difficult to get past that for a little bit. Everybody kind of all put their hands in, said, man, we're in this together till the end. We're going to fight for you as hard as we can. And we know you're going to fight for us as hard as we can and try to get as many race wins as we can. And we did, you know, we won three races last year, had a really great year. Unfortunately didn't capitalize in the first round of the playoffs, got knocked out, early from getting involved in a couple accidents and blowing a tire and things like that. But, yeah, it was sad to see Tyler go. And it's certainly been a little of an adjustment, but, you know, we got Kyle Busch now. So, you know, things aren't all that bad.
Well, that kind of leads into my next question. You went from a great driver in Tyler, and now you get a Hall of Fame driver in Kyle Busch. What was that adjustment like? Because you guys had a lot of success last year, and he's coming in with a lot of experience, and I'd imagine he wants things done a certain way, and he has a certain process that he liked to do things, working with Joe Gibbs all those years. So was it a difficult transition period to kind of find a way to mesh the two sides?
Honestly, the transition hasn't been real hard. You know, one thing about Kyle is he's obviously been around a long time. He likes things a certain way. He likes to give certain information and how we relay things to him and how we do things with the car. So yeah, we had to adjust a little bit of, you know, some processes, but all for the good. When you get a guy with, you know, a Hall of Famer come in here that's won so many races, and, you know, I've learned a ton from just working with him already, you know, so very fortunate to get that opportunity to crew chief for him and be a small part of his career. You know, that's certainly an honor to be able to be a somewhat of a part of that. And I think our transition's been great so far. Me and him, you know, spent a lot of time together. We talk a lot. You know, we got a lot in common. So we've spent a lot of time together over the off season and all through this season already. And it's been a good adjustment. It's been a lot. It's been you know, different with Tyler and his driving style is quite a bit different, you know, so I had to work on some things there to kind of adjust how we go about setting up the car for Kyle versus what we had to do, you know, in years past. So still learning on a lot of that, but growing as a team, and it's been a great transition so far.
Was there ever a moment, because you talked about learning from him a little bit, whether it be the way he prepares or the way he handles himself on the track, where it was like, oh yeah, this is why this guy's one of the best of the best?
Well, I think that was pretty evident when I got him, you know, when he came over and we sat down and had some several meetings, you know, about, hey, this is how we do things, and him talking about, you know, how he's used to things going on and what he's looking for out of a race car, what he's looking for, you know. What we noticed really quick was he's so detail oriented. I mean, every detail counts, and that's great, and that's where we're at in the Cup Series right now. Every detail counts, and so to have him come in with that mindset and really set that bar for the team has been great. We've had a lot of people step up and really up their roles and getting everything that we need to get done to win races. So, like I said, it's been really eye opening to, you know, the level of detail and the level of preparation he goes into putting into races is second to none.
Couple more questions here. I really appreciate the time again. Ross Chastain, he's been a guy that has been in the headlines a lot recently. He was one of the main storylines coming out of last year's race at Gateway. So I'm curious, with a guy like that, do you have to adjust your strategy a little bit when you're racing around someone like him, knowing that the likelihood of something happening is probably a little bit higher? Or do you know, yeah, got an experienced driver in Kyle, and hey, I trust him, I guess, to go out and handle his business?
Well, I pretty much leave that in Kyle's hands. You know, he's raced around most of these guys a lot. He knows what he's dealing with from every different driver he's out there racing. So, you know, he's smart enough driver that he's a 2-time NASCAR Cup champion. How many ever time, you know, NASCAR Touring Series winner. So, he doesn't really need me to tell him how to drive much. So I'll let him handle that. And I worry about trying to make the car go fast for him.
Finally, coming back to the St. Louis area, do you have any good food spots or places you're looking forward to stopping at? Or is it all business, I guess, as you go from track to track?
Oh, no. We're going to make it down to the hill while we're there. We'll take a bunch of the guys down, probably go to Zia's. That's always been one of my favorites, like Favaz's on the hill, anywhere on the hill, really.
Right.
It's hard to find great Italian, you know, home-cooked Italian meals here in the Charlotte area. So I really look forward to getting there. We stay not far from the hill when we come there, so definitely going to take my guys out, treat them some nice dinner there.
Well, thanks again. Best of luck on the rest of the season. I got a kick out of your guys' throwback car last week, and it was one of the few I was old enough to remember when I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was cool. It was cool having Lucas Oil there. Brandon Bernstein, you know, he's a famous, you know, drag racer and big part of Lucas Oil. So to have him there and that whole group, that they've done a lot with our company. So it's cool to be able to have them on there for that race for sure.